This is a Pinball News production.
This is going to try to be a real-time demo of things that aren't quite working right, and some things are working right, so please bear with that. We're going to try to do some stuff here, because that's my only slide. So let's get off of that and close this down and see what we have for a screen. You may have heard about the G-Sound board. It's this board that I've been trying to get finished, and it's getting finished this year finally. Been redesigning it, trying to keep up with new technology and things, and we finally got a final design. The CAD wasn't ready for the show, so I've sort of cobbled together a demo with an evaluation board and a PC helping with the sound, and just trying to get started on emulating the sound on a real System 80 game. That emulation is not perfect. We can do a few sounds, we can do a few demos, but it isn't quite where I wanted to be. And as everyone should know, or if you don't know, the System 80s were nice games, but they were pretty infamous for crappy sound. And I'll bring up a folder, because I have the sound files. I have a sound file for each individual sound that the game could make, and they're saved as simple WAV files on a computer. And we use the computer because we can make our own sound files and move them over to a SD card to plug into the sound card. So we want everyone to be able to do that. We don't want it just to be something that happens at the factory, at our factory, or the pinball machine factory, for that matter. Anyway, the sounds that they use, if you looked at the early electronic games, they were always trying to come up with new things for sound because they were always pushing the state of the art. They couldn't just put in the sound we have now because the technology wasn't available, and even the best technology would have been too expensive for a mass-marketed machine. So they used what they could. They put on a microprocessor. They had the microprocessor do some bleeps and bloops. If they wanted to do speech, they couldn't just digitize speech. Like we all think, oh, we'll just digitize it and put it on a memory, because memories were very expensive, even for the fairly small ones they had then. So they had to use chips to try to help with the speech, and those chips made speech that sounded awful. And then they used sound effects like this, using their synthesizers, which, when the machines first came out, were really cool, because, hey, that's making like bleeps and bloops. I never heard that before, so people would run out and buy them. But by the time we're here in this century, they can drive you crazy. So the idea of the board was to have a replacement board, because besides just having the sounds that you don't really want on the board, the boards are also flaky. They're getting old, the parts are becoming obsolete, and so on. So this is an opportunity to do a soundboard with the capability of changing the sounds as well. All right, now it's just listening for codes here. And again, this is just part of this demo that wouldn't be part of the product. And we're seeing, this is the coin-up sound that the standard thing is. And what we're doing here is we're taking the sound codes that come from the CPU board that runs the machine and intercepting those. And right now I have a program that's going between the PC and my evaluation board to do the sound, but the principle is the same. When the board is complete, it'll be the same way. So if we want to perfectly emulate the factory sounds, all we need are WAV files for all of the individual sounds. In this case, in this game, there are no more than 32 discrete sounds. And then we put those as WAV files on an SD card, which I put over here. This is the kind of card you have in a digital camera, something. This is a medium size and has 4 gigabytes. This is probably about 100 times larger than you need to emulate a game like this. But what's interesting is you can then put in any sounds that you want. So I thought Rocky was a good theme, and we had stuff like that. We had all kinds of movies and a franchise and all of that, they're fans. So I just wanted to substitute some of the stock sounds with the sounds that we could get. If we start up a game here, again, the emulation is not perfect, so some things are going to get lost. Sounds get repeated and confused, but that's part of the demo. So if you see, this is the background sound that gets triggered like every 3 seconds. Games like this didn't really have background sound capability. It has a 3-second sound. The computer board says, okay, play this 3-second sound. Play this 3-second sound. and it's a little out of sync for some reason, but you get the general idea. And then there are separate sounds for, and we can make a mess like that. Again, that's part of the demo. But when you do get the round complete, like you hear that sort of fake cheer, and that's one of the things we can change. What I did was I went to Walmart. I was looking for a Rocky movie, and for $13 I found this, and this is Rocky 1, 2, and 3 on DVD. And there are freeware programs out there. The one I used was, I can't read this here. It's a ripper for the sound off of DVDs. So I ripped the soundtrack for all three of the Rocky movies. So we've got a file for each chapter, and those are all just regular WAV files that we can go in and edit with any WAV editing program. So I found a little section about half an hour ago with some cheers on it, and put that in as a substitute for one of the files. Now here we have a PC image of the files that are actually being played. So this sound effect here that we're hearing is the fanfare, which is sound file 27. So if we were to change sound file 27, we could do that in real time while the game is going. That'll change that. The sound for the cheers is sound 17. So I've got my little guy saved on the screen here. Is this him? So we'll copy him over and replace it. Now that sound is replaced. Now when we do this, we've now replaced, kind of a bad copy because I was in a hurry, but we've replaced the original digitized sound with a sound file sound that we made up for on our own. And I did the same thing for a couple of other ones. I mean, that's a startup sound. Sounds a little organy, sounds a little old-fashioned, but again, hey, we have the whole soundtrack from every Rocky movie to deal with. So I did the same thing there. I took the fanfare from Rocky 1, and I think I'm going to move the right file here, but the way things are going, we'll see. So that is sound file 27, which should be on my desktop somewhere, which got shrunken by this thing here. I might want to take a look at this. This is just a little text file I made up because I had to map out the sounds, and you would have to do this too if you wanted to make your own custom sounds. And there'd be some help for that when you have the board. But just have a list of the 31 possible sounds and how I could make, and I tried to make out as best I could what they're actually used for. So if I said the fanfare was sent was sound file 27, which is the same as number 19. For some reason, they duplicated and left out spaces. You're kind of seeing the guts of the Gottlieb engineering department here, because they had a fixed number of sound slots, and they had things to put in them. So some sounds aren't used, some sounds are duplicated. One's a little faster than the other one. And you may need all of them, you may not need all of them. And you could change or not change, whatever you wish. Sorry, folks, I need a little more time to get this together than I should have had. I was in a real rush to get here. But I'm in the exhibit space and going to have a booth here through Sunday. So I'm going to get some of these things worked out here and be able to do a proper demo. At home, I was almost to the point where I was emulating all the sounds here, but under the time constraints of getting this together, some of my files just aren't where they need to be, and I don't want to sit here and make you wait. But I wanted to fill you in on what's going on with the board, and it is going to be available this year. And there are a few new features on the board. It's got it'll have a headphone output for one thing. Also going to have an option for all these machines had mono sound, obviously, but we have the capability for stereo. And if you have headphones, and headphones are stereo too, so we have the capability of switching to a stereo mode of operation where you can use stereo headphones and mono amp, or if someone wants to pimp out their machine, they can get a line out in stereo and add stereo amplifiers and maybe upgraded speakers and get true true CD quality out of it. Another thing we're doing is with a wireless remote control. We have a little key fob, universal wireless, and infrared sensor that will be an option for the board so that you can do things like change the muting between speakers, headphones, speakers, fully muted, as well as change the sound set. What we're showing here is one set of files, and this is sort of the default way of doing the standard sounds. But we can accommodate any number of sets of sounds. So you can have a number of different sound sets that you can switch from, either from the remote or from push buttons that are on the soundboard itself. So you could have a family mode sound set, and then you just press the remote and switch to the adult version, or you know, a corny version, or one with your kids doing some of the sound effects, or whatever you want. And a lot of people ask, well, how do I put background music? These don't have to be WAV files. These can be MP3s. They could be FLAC files. They could be just about any audio file format. But when we're doing a board like this, you have to work in conjunction with the CPU board, because the soundboard has no idea what's going on in the game. It only knows what's going on when the CPU commands it to do something. Sometimes those commands are pretty inexplicable, and we're still figuring that out. And some of them are game-specific. Like in this game, once you get to a certain round level, it plays one of the sounds, but it plays at a higher pitch. And it does that because the sound is being synthesized on the soundboard itself. So it just the code that they wrote for that causes that to happen. But if you just play the same WAV file, when you get the same trigger, it's not going to do that. So there has to be some added intelligence to emulate the intelligence that was on the original board. And it's usually not that hard. But what you need are individual sound files for each of those differences. Which is kind of interesting because that was sort of one advantage that those early synthesized games have. I mean, even a game like Meteor, if you played Meteor, once you get the game going and you're racking up bonus, sort of every time you get an increment in the score, the pitch of the game changes and gets higher and higher and higher. And when systems like DCS came out, DCS is a digitized format. It's not synthesizing anything. It's playing back the compressed digitized audio. And they would have needed a digitized version of every one of those tone levels. And if there are 50 tone levels, there goes their memory budget, because they needed to do that. So you see certain kinds of effects on old games that you really don't see on new games. So anyway, that kind of thing. But because memory now is so incredibly cheap, I mean, I can't even get these SD cards in a small enough size that are fitted to the game itself. Why is this beeping? So what we're looking at is working within the constraints of the game. So if someone says, how about a background sound, which is where I was, that's fine, except the soundboard itself doesn't know when the game is started, when the game is ended. It doesn't know when the ball's in play, when it's in the shooter lane. It knows of gross events. It'll know if there's a tilt, and you could add intelligence saying, hey, if it's playing this sound, that must mean this happened. So you can get some clues as to that, but not often enough to make a universal set of rules. So for that reason, this board is going to work in conjunction with boards like the NeoWump UBQ board, which lets you design your own rule sets for the games. And we have a protocol we're working on that will allow you to expand the number of sounds as well, so that you're not limited by that bus, which constrains you to no more than 31 discrete sounds. So once you're in that system, you can then have pretty much anything that you'd see in a modern DCS game, or even more than that, because you can customize the sounds on the fly. You can have multiple SD cards you can fool around with. The board also has a USB port on it, so you can connect it to a PC or a laptop, and it looks like a mass storage device, so you can move files around that way. So that's what we're looking to do to sort of break out of the limitations of the board just as a strict replacement board. So there is an upgrade path, and obviously it's the same board. The other significant thing we've done with this board is I looked at it, and some people were asking about early Bally soundboards, which are obviously simpler. But it was simple to add a connector to this current design. So this G soundboard, G was for Gottlieb, now isn't accurate anymore, because it will also work in all of the Bally solid state the first generation solid state games. We'll look how far we can go into the vocalizers and things like that before we run into a hardware constraint. But it looks like it'll just drop in as a Bally replacement the way this drops in as a replacement for the Gottlieb System 1s and System 80s. And the impetus for that was really Kevin Wade at CPR. They're working on a project called Las Vegas, which I don't know if you all know about, is a special version. It's a new game. It's a retrofit for a Bally Dolly Parton with a new theme, new art, and they wanted to do new sound. So I'm working with them, and hopefully this board will be part of
new software.
Bye. Yeah, and it's a substantial effort, and I think they're going to do some really professional stuff with the sound. The other thing the G-Sound board can do is more concurrent sounds, so you can do up to four sounds at once. And other than that, it's a drop-in replacement. Does anyone have any questions so far? Yes.
Two, what's the name of your gripper, and can you repeat the name of that 9WMF board that is
The 9WMF is a UBQ board, and it's a System 80 board which you reprogram using online tools, and you write sort of pseudocode, and then you upload it to their server, and it gives you a little package with the code for a Z80 that gets programmed onto their chip. So it's sort of an interactive process. And I'm working with Ace over there because right now they're sort of stuck for sound because they're stuck with 32 sounds and they're stuck with soundboards that can only make the sounds that they were originally programmed for. DVD audio extractor. I'm sure if you Google that, you'll find it. But, can't say anything better about it than it just worked perfectly. So here it's just figured out. The chapter is on the DVD that's in here, and when you want to select something, we can go to, let's just see where it goes. So it just does a chapter at a time, but then it just makes a WAV file or an Ogg Vorbis file or whatever kind of file that you want. Yes. Yes.
I guess the obvious thing is for me with the older Williams games.
Yes.
Are you planning something to do with the Williams games, or is there a problem?
There's not really a problem. The only problem is proliferation. They changed their sound systems so many times that it's hard to build one board that covers everything. And I'm a big collector of the Gottlieb and early Bally, so I have access to most or close to all of them. And I don't have that same capability with Williams. So it would be a substantial amount of research just to figure out what kind of board I could do that would cover the greatest majority with one board. Because once you start spawning different printed circuit boards, the costs kind of go up. And the retail on this board, I'm sticking to under $150. Any other questions? Yes.
So you're basically a stuck. Well, not stuck, right?
You can say stuck.
With the amount of speech calls or sound calls that the MPU will pull on. So if you have like 32, you can only put 32 different sounds.
Well, yes, but. There's a but, and the but is that there's an extended format. This is the simple format that's off my screen now, which is just a list of files for every sound call. But there's an extended format that uses a configuration file, which is a text file. So every sound call can do different things. So we can have the sound call always call the same file, which is what it's doing now. We can have the sound call from a group of files in a list. So the first time it's called, it'll call this. Then the second time it's called, it'll call the second file in the list. And the third time, the third file, so on until it gets to the end, and then it'll recirculate. So like if you had a sound for pop bumpers, these pop bumpers would be great if they had like a sound of a fist, of a boxing match, of a punch. But if it's always the same punch, dun, 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 it's going to sound kind of repetitive. So if you had three or four different punch or slap sound effects and triggered it from that sound call, it would sound a lot better. And the other mode is a randomized mode, which you can have in with these things, it's unlimited. You can just say that. An unlimited list of files, and you can give them a randomization percentage. So like a game like Medieval Madness, you can see there are some, you can play the game for weeks, and then it'll do a new sound call. Oh, I never heard that before. It's doing that because it's got randomized sound calls on some of those things. They will only come up at a certain probability. So you can do the same thing. You can have the list, which is a fixed list that goes through, or a list that goes through with a weighted randomization. So you can have one that would come up, say, only 1% of the calls that would come up, and the other time, none of 99, it will do some of the other calls. So there are some enhancements you can do to the thing. So you're not completely stuck with that. You can make it much more interesting. Yes.
For us PM guys, what else do you have down the road? You'll be coming out with any more 8-track tapes?
Yeah, well, you know, if you go to the website, there's lots of all kinds of, there's all kinds of very strange things. Pardon me?
What do you have new coming on board?
New coming on board, got some new stencils coming out for a Royal Flush. There's an EM. I have some new tapes, new 8-track tapes, F114. I'll have to look to see what the other ones are. What would you like to see?
One thing, Williams makes a sidewalk engineer, and when I was at the West Coast show, they had there's a museum out there on the pier there, and they had a soundtrack of like a motor running when a sidewalk engineer like a.
Yeah, they probably got it from Dozer. AmeriCoin made a game called Dozer, which was very similar, and I make tapes for Dozer. And I have a website called arcadearchive.com. And if you go there, I have MP3s for all of, well, I have MP3s for lots of those, all of the sound files that I make 8-track tapes for, as well as some other ones. Arcadearchive.com. So I do those as I can. I helped out a guy. He had a custom sawmill attraction. It was a just some little animated model of this sawmill. They had some little cows over here, and they had a saw going, and a guy going like this, and machines and wheels going on. And we just did it over email. He says, "Hey, can you make me a tape for this?" So I sent him a link to a search engine for audio files. Called Find Sounds or something, findsounds.com, and said, here, knock yourself out. So the next day he sent me links to about 6 or 8 different files, like cows mooing and people sawing and buzz saws and compressors going, and I just put together a custom tape for him for the game. But it had to go on an 8-track, because right now that's the only thing there is for playing stuff back. Findsounds.com. Yep.
So you have the sound when it starts up, you said it's in a 3-second loop or you play it over.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if I wanted to have the background sound playing Eye of the Tiger throughout the
movie. Can
I have a stack up error because it's going to try to play that same loop in a long file?
Well, there's nothing preventing you from playing a big file. The problem is it has to know how to handle when it gets the same trigger again. By default, it'll just play the sounds on top of one another. But that's something that's programmed because, again, that's what the designers did on a sound-by-sound basis. They wanted to figure out, well, what do we do if we want to re-trigger this sound? You either want to do one of a few things. You want to either stop the current play of the sound and start it over again, or you might want to play that sound again and let the tail of the first iteration go. In general, their hardware wasn't capable of doing that. This hardware is, and it comes in very useful if you want to do something like emulating chimes. Because when you hit a chime, obviously you have that long tail of decay. If you just chopped off the chime when the new chime sound came in, it would sound horrible, even if you're hitting the same chime over and over again for like, 5,000 points or something, sneaking up on me. So, that's a consideration, but it can be configured. The board can be configured to work either way. But like you said, there you do have to deal with a trigger, and the bigger problem is that the board is not going to know on its own when to start and stop playing the soundtrack file. But you could put it in. And it really depends on the game, too, because some are dumber than others. And, you know, when they try to get clever, then things can get a little tricky figuring out what's going on. But, you know, because this board will work all the way through the System 1s, it'll even work on a chime machine like Cleopatra. But obviously there you just have three triggers. You have three sounds, you know, tens, hundreds, and thousands, and that's it. So there's only so much you could do with that particular game. Yep.
Does this totally replace the soundboard, or is it in conjunction with?
No, it totally replaces the existing soundboard.
So it seems like it'd be pretty easy to have background sound, just mix the two together.
Yes, the only thing you need to address is when to start and stop the sounds, because the soundboard itself isn't completely aware of what's going on in the game. It can make some guesses, or it can get some idea maybe by, it might know, hey, in this game, when they play sound 22, that means it's starting a new game, but it might just be starting a new ball. So it really depends on the game, and the idea is to make this an open system. You know, something like this with the Rocky movie sounds on it, I couldn't say put on my website because it's, you know, it's sort of copyright hell, but I'm hoping that the people that use this board will sort of get together. There's a guy in the news group that's a real Rocky freak, and he kind of gave me some pointers as to some places in the movies to find some good files, and he can't wait to fool around.
If you want to play all the original sounds of the game, how do you port those in from
Well, I provide those. The factory sounds I provide. Those are WAV files. I have them here for all the System 80 games, and some of the System 1s are, you know, by the time it's out there, the system will come with all of the sounds for all of the factory sounds. And if you just plug the board in, you don't want to be bothered with any of this crap. You just plug this board in, and it'll act like a replacement for the existing soundboard, except it won't break. And it won't have obsolete parts. And then you have the capability of fooling around with it for a long time. And, you know, there'll be a forum for people to ask questions like you did, you know, because on one game it may work one way, and another game it may work a different way.
But you don't have all the sounds mapped out from all the games, that's
for the individual. No, the factory sounds are going to be mapped out. And what you get is, again, they're PC files, so they're on an SD card. So you say, I buy this thing, it's for Spider-Man. So you get it, it's got one of these in it, it's got the Spider-Man factory sounds on it. You plug it in your Spider-Man game, it plays like a Spider-Man game. You say, well, let me see what's on this. You take this over here and you put it in your PC or your card reader or whatever, and you're going to see a bunch of sound files on there, and you'll see a README file, which will say what they are. And if you click on the sound file, it plays a sound file. Say, oh, that's this sound, you know. Say, well, I want to change that, so you just change the, you know, you just replace that file. If you overwrite any of the files that are on there, you'd be able to download them off of our website. So you're not going to lose anything, and you know, you should set them up as a separate set so that you always got the original sounds, and then you have a separate set that you're experimenting with, or multiple sets that you're experimenting with. Let me go back here. Yep. Pinballpal.com. And we have a newsletter that you can sign up for general purpose products, as well as a specific newsletter for the G soundboard. And I promise you it's a very low volume newsletter. I just send things when there's something significant to be said. It's not for spamming and sales. Although we do have a sale now and then. Well, that's about it. Is there any other? Yep.
Did you say System 1, 2?
Yeah, all the System 1 games. The board has three different connectors on it. And the System 1 has a 9-pin connector for the earlier games and a 12-pin connector for the later games. And all of the System 80s use a 12-pin connector. And it's kind of unfortunate that they did that, because that's been the cause of the demise of countless soundboards, because if you take a System 1 soundboard that looks virtually identical, it's the same size, same 12-pin connector, and plug it into a System 80 game, it's instantaneously blown out forever. So I have the two connectors, and they're labeled in giant letters, System 1, System 80, because the same thing could happen if you plug it into the wrong game. But the bigger board behind the little board is the earlier rev, and that's kind of the configuration, except it's smaller now. So when you put it in a natural way, there's a natural place for that connector to go. So you'd have to do some pretty tortured harness bending to plug it in wrong, but it would be bad if you did. Any other questions? Comments? Yes?
How will the board physically fit?
Put some extra mounting holes on it. There's room around it. The actual board is the size of the smaller System 80 one, or the larger of the System 1 board. So the board itself is this big, so it's only about an inch wider than the Bally board, and there's plenty of room up and down. So so it's just a matter of finding the right mounting holes for it, and it's not a critical kind of thing. It's like the like the replacement CPU boards for Bally's and such. They're smaller, but they find the right holes. Or the Niwonf CPU board is a little smaller, and you have to bend the harness around. This only has one harness going into it, so there aren't any harness issues. So there'll just be a separate set of holes for the Bally configuration. Okay, I think that's it. Like I said, I'm going to be at the show, and I'm going to give this a little more attention. It didn't like being driven 14 hours in the back of my car and getting set up here, and things aren't going with the demo the way I wanted it to, but I will have it on the floor and will be playable. I have the factory board. We could put it in there, since for some reason my video wouldn't play on this projector, so you can hear how horrible the original sounds are. And I was going to do a little interactive demo here with a microphone and maybe get some suggestions, because we could have, if things were working a little smoothly, gone through, found a sound, found a scene in one of the movies, and grabbed the video, grabbed the audio, put it on the demo system here, and do those real-time changes. I did a couple here that I prepared in advance, but one in particular is that robot voice saying round one, round one, round one. It's like, I'll stop already with round one. Just to get some stuff for that, maybe some people using a mic and all that. So that may happen on the floor during the rest of the show. So if you're interested in any of that, please come by, and we can fool around with the sounds. Okay, thank you very much.